Coming up at 5 o'clock and then Food Sleuth Radio at 5:30. This hour of programming is brought to you by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts and the listeners of WEFT. Krannert Center's 2022-23 season is underway, featuring a diverse selection of music, dance, and theater performances from both national and local artists. Please visit KrannertCenter.com for details. Krannert Center, because the arts matter. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Julie Duvall, who is the president of the board of the CU Autism Network, and Daniel Fox, their new CEO. But first, disability news and some commentary for the week of February 13th, 2023. More new guidance for doctors regarding concerns with some children with autism has been released by the advocacy organization Autism Speaks regarding the risk of self-injury, aggression, and other severe behaviors, and the lack of access to effective treatments. The document gives doctors and therapists background information on challenging behaviors and screening and assessing for issues, as well as information on evidence-based treatments. It also includes a toolkit for those looking to develop an effective program to treat severe behaviors. According to Jacqueline Perlmeter, program manager of clinical programs at Autism Speaks, quote, "Despite the prevalence of these behaviors, the majority of families lack access to appropriate and effective treatments. This lack of access to quality care can lead to poor treatment outcomes, limitations on skill development, poorer quality of life, and inability to participate in the community that they live in. In addition, these behaviors can lead to substantial physical and emotional harm to themselves and others," end quote. Because of their concerns, Autism Speaks sought leaders in autism, including researchers, people with autism, and family members back in 2020 for a thought leadership summit on challenging behaviors. Work groups established recommendations and priorities that served as a basis for the guide. Perlmeter said, quote, "This is a highly underserved segment of our community who often cannot access the behavioral and mental health services they need, leading to worse outcomes and a higher likelihood of crisis situations. By publishing this guide, we are working to ensure that local providers, not just autism specialists, have the knowledge and skills they need to effectively serve this population," end quote. Autism Speaks said that a separate guide aimed at helping families learn about severe behaviors and how to access care is also in the works. Minnesota is the first state in the U.S. to test all newborns from cytomegalovirus, or CMV, a transmissible virus that is a leading cause of infant hearing loss and congenital birth defects. The announcement last week follows the work of the past year to create a state protocol for testing at birth and 20 years of research at the University of Minnesota on identification, prevention, and treatment. CMV is among more than 60 conditions for which newborns are screened in Minnesota. The state has been a leader in newborn screening. About one-third of U.S. children carry CMV by the age of five, and it is spread easily, but serious complications are far more common among children infected in utero. Said Dr. Brooke Cunningham, commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Health, quote, "Parents of children at risk for permanent hearing loss will receive early support that can help them prevent potential developmental delays," end quote. To complete screening for CMV, Minnesota healthcare providers collect dried blood spots from all newborns unless parents opt out. The blood specimens are held indefinitely unless the parents request them to be destroyed. Storage of blood samples allows them to be used for the identification of other disorders or the development of new tests. The requirements were set almost 10 years ago in legislation following a court case settled in 2014 that resulted in the destruction of more than a million older samples. The health department is researching the usefulness of older blood spots, expecting that parents whose newborns test positive for CMV will want to go back and check older siblings. Most children born with CMV infections do not show initial symptoms, although some may have jaundice, low birth weight, or small head size. Other long-term complications besides hearing loss effects may include seizures, balance problems, or developmental delays. One-fifth of infected babies are likely to have symptoms at birth or be at risk for hearing loss or other complications. The screening cannot identify which infected children are at elevated risk, but it will allow doctors to monitor them and conduct more frequent hearing exams. Screening and treatment are only part of the public health strategy to reduce the spread of CMV and congenital infections. Given the ease with which the virus can spread through fluids, doctors discourage pregnant mothers from sharing food or drink with children. And finally, in more injustices perpetrated on people with disabilities in Illinois, recent reports obtained by reporters indicate that residents of the Choate Developmental Center in Anna, Illinois, have been subjected to continued inhumane treatment. In one report, the Illinois Inspector General said that two employees who had broken a resident's arm at the center bragged to others about how they and others were able to get away with the abuses by blaming injuries on patient falls. Some residents with PICA, a disorder defined as a tendency to eat substances or objects not typically ingested, were forced by nursing staff to dig through their own feces in order to identify ingested items. Another incident in November of 2021 detailed that a mental health technician was found to have mentally abused and retaliated against a resident who wet himself after the tech rejected his request to use the bathroom. The worker made the man mop up the mess and then tossed the resident's personal letters in the bucket of dirty water, according to the inspector's report. When questioned by an investigator, one of the patients who witnessed the incident and corroborated the account began to cry and said he was, quote, tired of being abused, end quote. The State of Illinois Department of Human Services continues to ignore these crimes and inhumane treatment while keeping Choate Developmental Center and the six other developmental centers open for business as usual. In my opinion, DHS has the responsibility to fire and or discipline responsible staff and to provide oversight, assuring that residents are not only safe but provided opportunities to have a better quality of life with the support of caring, trained, and properly supervised people in their own communities. The continued revelations about the abuses at Choate are irrefutable indicators that it should close immediately. So should they all. People with disabilities deserve far better than what Illinois has provided. And that's the news and commentary for this week. I can change the world. Okay, this is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, bringing you this program on WEFT Champaign. And today we have with us two guests, and I hope we have two guests. We have Daniel Fox, who is the CEO of the Champaign-Urbana Autism Network, and Julie Duvall, who is the president of the board of that very same organization. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Daniel, are you there? Ah, that's what I suspected. That was that what that ring was about in the middle of the news. Okay, I'm going to hang up and he'll call back in a moment. So, Julie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself while we're waiting for Daniel to call back in. There he is.
Sure. My name is Julie DeVall, and I am the president of the CBC. And I have multiple family members, immediate family members with autism, and I've been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah. So you have been the president of the board of the Autism Network for how long now?
About 5 years ago, Mark Sheldon helped us become our own individual 501(c), and I was the president then for about a year, and then I just recently in July I went back to being president.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what services that the CU Autism Network historically has provided for families.
Sure. We do multiple sensory-friendly events throughout the year. Trunk or treat, a Santa, breakfast with Santa. We try to provide opportunities for autistic children or individuals to a safe space that's sensory friendly and family fun friendly. We do lights up, sound down movies.
Mm-hmm.
You
might want to explain a little bit about what that means for those families out there who don't understand some of the traits of some people with autism.
So, individuals with autism, it's called the snowflake disability. No two people are the same. So what you see in one person, you might not see in someone else. But we try to provide for lights up, sounds down movies, an environment. So we go to the movie theater, and we rent out a movie theater, and then we play a movie, and they leave the lights up, and they turn the sound down so it's not so loud to aggravate other people's sensory issues.
Mm-hmm. So family events are a big deal, and I'm sure that many families of kids with autism attend those on a fairly regular basis.
Yes.
How many members does the Autism Network serve in this area?
We have over 2,000 followers on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and we average about 75. At Christmas time, we had over 150 people at our Santa Breakfast with Santa event. For our Autism Walk, we average about 400 people.
Mm-hmm. That's a bunch. I mean, autism certainly is much more common these days than not. So beyond the events that you provide for families, what other kinds of what kind of resources do you provide for families?
Sure. So we, in April, actually April 15th this year, we are putting on our 12th annual Autism Walk and Resource Fair. We provide again, another sensory-friendly event. And then we have a resource fair. So we have usually about 65 different agencies that set up a table. We advocate for families with disabilities. I've gone into schools and advocated for IEPs.
Mm-hmm.
We go into businesses, try to explain to them. A lot of businesses work with us to find out how to go exactly about being able to
accommodate, couldn't think of the word, sorry, to accommodate to their patrons, whether it be seating, menus. We have a couple of area businesses that have changed their menu, made a picture menu.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked with Carl. Carl now has a autism module that every employee has to, from the janitor to the CEO,
mm-hmm.
takes for autism education and how to interact with individuals and families. We help provide or create sensory kits. We were in on the development and planning of the sensory rooms,
mm-hmm.
of 7 Carl locations. Basically, if you have autism, give us a call. We'll try to help find what we can do for you.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot. So what are the big issues around? What are the things that you're advocating for more strongly than ever?
I think in general, it's the inclusion. It's disability people in general have rights.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big fan of the ADA. I'm learning that a lot of people are not, they don't mean to offend or violate someone's rules. They just don't know what the laws state.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of what we do is go into, like I said, businesses or schools and say, these are the laws. These are what you have, the guidelines that you have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make sure that they, we work with the schools to bring these issues to light and then help try to be part of the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's perfect. And as you alluded to, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism.
Absolutely.
And everybody is unique in their own way. I think we have Daniel on the line now. So, Daniel, sorry I messed up that phone line for you, but are you on?
I'm here. Thank you, Vicki. And hi, Julie. How are you?
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me on here.
So Julie has already introduced herself, and I told everybody she's the president of the board of the Autism Network, and I understand that you are the new CEO. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course. I'm Dr. Daniel Fox, and I'm now the official CEO of the CU Autism Network. I'm a translational scientist, so a lot of my work is actually in the clinical research realm. I work a lot with like the big global pharma companies. I'm really good with the contracts, and I actually have about a decade of experience in academia. So I'm really good at writing grants and making planning grants and just getting the job done.
Yeah. So sounds like a perfect fit for an organization that has had its struggles over the past few years, for sure, in, you know, keeping the motivated leadership active and engaged. So it's great to have you on board, I'm sure. So Julie has filled us in a little bit on what some of the activities are that the CU Autism Network has traditionally provided. As new CEO, what are some things that you're looking at as, you know, helping them to move forward and to grow?
Well, one of the most interesting things that happened to me was actually when I was talking with Julie about this. And, you know, Julie has grandchildren now with autism. She's had children with autism. And she looked at me straight in the eyes and she said, Daniel, I'm tired. I've seen this happening for over 30 years. The same exact thing that people from today are experiencing in the schools, they were happening 30 years ago when I was doing it with my children. And that really, it resonated with me because over the past 30 years, that also means that we really haven't gotten a whole lot of progress in our community to support our autistic citizens. So that is one of my big initiatives as a CEO is, you know, we are working really hard to raise awareness for autism.
Did I lose you? I think he's gone again. We'll give him a minute. I'm going to turn the speaker back off, and hopefully he'll make it back in. So why don't you continue, Julie, where he left off?
Yeah, so we had reached out for Daniel to get a CEO. We're autism moms. I'm known for not stopping at no, unless it makes sense.
My kind of person.
The board and I reached out to Dr. Fox and asked him if he would work with us. And basically, our big news is that we have been interested in creating an autism center,
mm-hmm.
An all-encompassing autism center for our community. There's a lot of different agencies that have little parts that work with autism, but we want to be an all-encompassing. And in this community or in this autism center, we want to have an all-encompassing job training program.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Joan Gorsuch from Social Champagne is on board and she's going to work. We basically want autistic individuals, and this includes the school. I'm working with somebody at Urbana School District that once we get this up and running, so they could use it like a life skills, and the the individuals or students can come over and learn how to work on-site job training with support staff there the whole time the business is open. And this just gives them a way to learn the skills so that they can either continue to stay there or take those skills and work in another business.
Yeah. And we have Daniel back.
Yes.
You heard what
I'm back. I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. It happens. You know, those technical, I had a little problem earlier. So anyway, why don't you continue and talk a little bit about this projected or this planned autism center? It sounds like a really exciting project.
Yes, it is a very exciting project. I've been talking with Julie a lot. We know that this regional autism support center is heavily needed. Just another note, I'm also a president and a CEO of an autism nonprofit in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh.
And I can tell you that on a regional level, in Champaign, across the entire area, for a 100-mile radius, there are people who are in desperate need of this kind of care, people who are literally, they feel alone, they feel abandoned, they feel like their entire society has pretty much shut them out. They don't accommodate them. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. Every single time that I hear the story from a parent who says, I have nowhere to go. I don't have any support. What can I do? Where do I go? It's terrible. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what we're going to create this regional support, autism support center to do, is we want to create that beacon of hope so that people don't have that feeling anymore.
Well,
we shouldn't
Go ahead. Well, I think, they need a place to go. They need to be able to look, you know, have information out there where everybody who is collaborating in this, what sounds like a great project, knows to say to that family that has a baby that gets diagnosed with this, that they go, here's the number to call. Go see these people and they will help get you on the right track.
Yeah,
absolutely.
True and holistic care all the way from, you know, for the entire life cycle, for everyone. We want this support center to know exactly where to send people, what to provide people, and, you know, wherever stage of life they are, we want to be able to be there for them.
Are there a lot of autism centers out there, or is this kind of a new concept that is just in development?
There's a lot of agencies that, like I said, have their foot in the door of, and deal with autistic people, individuals and issues. No, to have an all-encompassing, not here regionally, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the closest one is actually East St. Louis. There is an autism center in the St. Louis area. That's about the closest one that I found. And nationally, you've got some leaders in there. There's South Carolina. There's one. I think there's one in Tennessee. So they are coming around. But again, within a 100-mile radius of Champaign, there's nowhere near what we're looking for.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad, but at least we're starting, you know, it's a starting point that I think is much needed. So that's great. Let's spend a few minutes talking about your upcoming event, because you have an autism walk, which has happened for a lot of years and probably stopped during COVID, I'm thinking, but you're back and ready to go again. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so this year is our 12th annual 12th annual Autism Walk and Resource Fair. It's Saturday, April 15th, from 11:30 to 2:30. It's at the Savoy Rec Center at 402 Graham Drive in Savoy, and we have inflatables. We have a mobile sensory museum. He was there last year, and the individuals loved it. We have Smith Burger that will be there. As a food truck. Parkland is going to do a quiet area.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have various, in the years past, we did a resource fair. So agencies will come in and set up just like a mini disability expo.
Mm-hmm.
Although this year we have vendors that want to be part of our group. In fact, at Christmas time, I had a young lady reach out to me who from Urbana Schools, who said she wanted to be part of our organization. Mm-hmm. So we got together, and she makes bracelets. So she came to the Breakfast with Santa, and I believe she's 10 or 11. I'm not exactly sure how old she is, but she's grade school. And she made bracelets and sold them, and then turned around and donated that money to Quan.
Wow.
So she was the very first one when we did our vendor who, in fact, she asked us at Christmas, can I come to your walk? So she is our very first vendor. And we're really trying to focus on inclusion. In the years past, I think it's kind of been known that these are autism events for autism individuals and families. Since Christmas, we've tried to engage everybody to come,
mm-hmm.
because it's my son goes to school and he has a good support system. He has a lot of friends that support him. And he, on one hand, he said, Mom, they don't ever come to my events because they're not allowed. And I thought, I could see that, so mm-hmm. let's include them. And we recently had a Skateland event, and the after-school program director came to our event, and he was the celebrity of our event. Mm-hmm. The kids loved to see them. At Christmas, Angie Franklin from the Urbana School District administration office came and helped make pancakes. We really want our kids, our individuals, to see like their teachers and administrators and come to our events, and so that they can share part of their life with these people, and that we want these people to see this is what our life is like.
Well, and just for people to get to know the families and the yes. people with autism that they see every day in a different setting. I mean, it's really yes. educational for them. More so maybe even than the families yes. themselves. So you're looking for volunteers for this event, is that correct?
Yes. So actually, we were just contacted Friday by Dr. Wemel at Urbana Freedom School, who said that he had volunteers that wanted to, students that they work with, which is perfect. Mm-hmm. I think that shows the inclusion, and it gets neurotypical kids with SPED kids, and I just think that was a perfect volunteer program. But we are open to volunteers, donations, sponsors.
And so if people have any of those things to offer, how would they contact you? What's the best way?
So we have our website, which is cuautismnetwork.org, where we have the Champaign-Urbana Autism Network as our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Email address is information.quan@gmail.com.
The full word
information@quan@gmail.com.
Okay, got it.
And that's also listed on the website. And one of the things I wanted to mention about our walk this year is we have an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Our last ambassador was Alexandra James.
I know Alexandra yes, quite well.
That was Renee and Julie Palermo and I mm-hmm. did Quan, and unfortunately Renee passed away,
mm-hmm.
And we had Alex be our ambassador. This year we have Scott Bennett. For those that don't know, on December 9th of last year, Scott suddenly passed away. He was our voice in Springfield.
He was a huge supporter.
Huge awesome. Supporter of autism.
Yeah.
And he liked to be off the record, or not off the record, but he was very humble and he didn't like lots of recognition.
He didn't want to be in the spotlight.
No, he did not. But let me tell you, that man, I could call him and he would get me in a door to say something, or he would call me for advocacy of laws or things that he was researching. And so we wanted to honor him. So we contacted Stacy and asked if we could have him be our ambassador. And she said, absolutely. She was yeah. honored.
Well, we are just about out of time. So, but we will have you on again, hopefully with a better phone connection for Daniel. the next time when you get close to having this event all booked and you're ready to promote it one more time, you know, we'll make that happen.
Thank
so,
all right. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you for joining us, Daniel. I wish we had you on the phone a little bit more than we did, but thank you for joining.
Okay.
And thank you, Julie Duvall, for being on the air as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at WEFT.